having God's fullness in your life. You know, we all go through a lot of things. And I was sitting there thinking about what God's brought me through and what God's taking me to and how it is that I've got. See, I really feel like the Lord has accelerated my growth in Him. You know, I feel like that God has lifted me up in a hurried manner, if you will. You know, because I really haven't been saved that long, but I've been very serious about everything I've done since I met God, right? I did all the things that I knew I had to do as it was revealed to me. I cut off all my friends. Bang, you're out of here. You know what I mean? I quit riding motorcycles. I started to renew my mind by grabbing the Bible and just reading and reading and reading and reading and reading. There was a time when I first got saved that I was actually going to two or three churches because no one church had enough teaching for me because I was like a sponge. I was just soaking it up. My desire was to take and learn all that I could learn. And I remember sitting there one day and I just told God, you know, that I had told Him the day I got saved that I will serve You all my days. But that wasn't enough for me. You understand? I don't want to just serve Him all my days. I want to excel in serving Him all my days. You understand? I don't want to give Him the last fruits. I wanted to give Him the first fruits of the rest of my life. I wanted to give Him everything that I possibly could. I wanted to hold nothing back from Him. I didn't no longer want to be about the things that I had been about. I wanted to solely be about the things that He would have me to be about. And I remember on the carpet, just getting rug burns on my nose, begging Him to show me a way that I could excel in Him. Amen? I mean, I would just, you know, because when He finally got a hold of me, He got a hold of me. You know what I mean? He just, bang, it was there. And my heart was so grateful because I had been in a hopeless state for years. I really figured I would either be in prison for life or I would be dead and buried. And I thought that was going to be my life. You understand? So I was hopeless, you see. I was without hope. And when He came to me in that state that He brought me to, I'm sure that He allowed my life. Then I told Him, yes, I will serve You all your days. But I didn't know nothing then. But as I started to get to know Him and I started to learn how good He really was, then I didn't want to just serve Him. I wanted to serve Him wholly. Amen. And I was thinking, well, God, you know, how can I go about this? And He showed me that I had to just trust Him totally and give my life to Him. Now, for me, that meant that I had to, you know, just totally turn my life around. And you'll find out that most of you, if you really want to serve Him, you've got to totally turn your life all around. You know, for me, it was necessary to live on holy ground. What does that mean? The only place I could get the washing that I needed was in the total inundation of His Word and His presence in my life. And you know, you can't do that in your apartment alone. Did you hear that? You can't do it. You can try and you can try and you can try, but very few people successfully accomplish it. One of my joys in my life is discipleship. All right? Because even though we have a lot of people that are fresh off the streets, do you hear the praise and worship every day? You hear the Word of God every day. You listen to people talk to each other every day. You do not get that when you're living in the world, even if you're not of the world. And even if you take and you know, you deal with those people that come in off the street that are of an insincere heart, what you've got to remember is God loves them, so you do too. And they are making the decisions that are going to rule their life. But you keep on making the decisions that are going to be for the good in your life. There is no other environment I've ever been. And I've been to seminary. Hello.
Hello.
You know what I mean? That's just another stinking college setting. Did you get that? There are people out there getting high. There are people out there doing all the things, sleeping around, everything. It's another college. Did you get that? Let me not mix words with you. Amen? And it's a good thing, and there are those that are sincere that are there. But I'm telling you today that one of my biggest joys is this place, because it has allowed me to start to get to where I know we need to be to really enjoy the fullness of God. There is no place in the country where you're going to get 365 every day of the year teachings on the Word of God. Nowhere. Amen? Plus another 3 to 5 a week. Nowhere. There is nowhere you're going to get more Bible. There's nowhere you're going to get more preaching. There's nowhere you're going to get more teaching. Nowhere. And this is what brings you into that place where you can be truly blessed by God. Amen? And when I was sitting there thinking, you know, I'm always reading in the Bible, it says like, David was a man after God's own heart. Right? And the wisest man in the world ever, according to the Word of God, was who? You see, and when I told you that I've been seeking God and asking God, not just to be a servant, but to excel in being His servant. You understand? To be more than a dream, I could dream possible by being His servant. I had to go see Solomon. Amen? Because Solomon became the wisest in the kingdom. He had the greatest of the kingdom of Israel at the time. He was the one that really brought unification in total to the different tribes of Israel, right? And he had to have supreme wisdom in order to do this in his life. And my prayer is, God, give me godly wisdom. Give me godly wisdom so I can excel at being your servant. Amen? And that's why I don't want to be like everybody else. And I don't want to be like the church. And I don't even really want to be like Solomon. I want to be who I'm supposed to be with God giving me that wisdom I need to really bring the church together to the best of my ability and really do a great work for God. How many people are following me here this morning? So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the Bible today, the Old Testament. And I want to show you, there's going to be just a few scriptures I'm going to give you on how to become one of God's greatest servants. Some of the prayers that must be in your life, some of the actions that must be in your life. And we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 3 first. 1 Kings chapter 3. Now I want you to know that that in fact, Solomon was one of many brothers, right? I mean, David, he liked wives, so he had him a few. Nah, he's a braver man than me. I think one is plenty. But I've never been a king in those days, so I don't really know what it means. Everybody gives me their opinion of what it meant, but I know that no stinking historian can give you the truth of the times. Right? The wives in that day, a lot of it was just to make treaties with different kingdoms. Right? And of course, I'm not telling you that there wasn't a lot of things going on, because there was. But I'm going to tell you that I wasn't born then, and I'm not going to judge then. But I'm going to tell you, as for me, I think one is plenty. And if you got any smarts at all, you better think the same thing. Amen? I just can't imagine. And Solomon really blows my mind, but I'm not going to talk about that part. I'm going to talk about the first part. So we're going to go to 1 Kings 3, verse 3. Now, Solomon was anointed king underneath David. But there was a lot of interplay and stuff that was going on. There was a lot of other sons that were vying for position. And, you know, if you were in a courthouse of that day in the kingdom, then your mom would try to get you ahead. Somebody else's mom would try to get them ahead. And so forth and so on. There was all kinds of intrigue in the palace. There was poisonings. There was murders. It was a terrible thing. It was a terrible thing. You'll read in the Old Testament where in one case, 70 sons was killed by one son so that he could have the throne. You understand? Now having 70 kids I mean, again, I don't want to know. You understand? I don't want to know. It sounds like a chaotic life to me. And if you were a kid, you really didn't spend much time with dad. You get it? You got 70 kids. Your time is kind of limited at best. But what we're going to talk about today is, see, Solomon was insecure. You know what I mean? Solomon had been appointed king, but in fact, he wanted to do right. And his desire of his heart, and everything that you do, the desire of your heart is what's going to determine your path. Amen? My heart is to do things right for God, not for men. Solomon's heart was, okay, I've been appointed king, but I want to be a good king. I want to be one that judges correctly. And that was his first priority in his life. Now, a lot of people today, their priority in their life is the blessings. Right? Lord, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Give me money, give me things, make me happy. Right? But you see, that's a wrong heart condition. The right heart condition is, God, help me to do right by your standards. God, show me the path that you want me to walk on. God, just take and help me through these things and give me the knowledge that I need to do right. So when I determined that the name of this Bible study would be having God's fullness in your life, I wasn't even talking about the blessings that come with the financial side. I'm talking about the fullness of God, which is all the way the spiritual side. Amen. To have all the financial gain in the world without the spiritual touch of God is a travesty. Amen. It is a waste of life, and you will never be happy. But if you have the fullness of God in your life and you have absolutely nothing but abject poverty, you're going to be happy. You understand? So, Father God, I just ask today, Lord, as I bring this word, that God, you just help me to bring this into a place where all people understand, God, that we have got to quit coming to God because we got broken relationships and asking you to heal them. We've got to quit coming to God because something terrible has happened in our life and you need to fix it. We have got to quit coming to you except for one reason, God, that we might acknowledge we need to be used by you, Lord. And God, help us to get our hearts in that place where we make the decision to serve you just because you are the very best thing that happened in our life. And help us to make that our total priority. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. It says, and Solomon loved the Lord. Verse 3, chapter 3. Do you really love God? Or is He your second or third boyfriend or girlfriend? Is He the one that you only go to when you're having trouble? Or do you have a love affair with the living God? See, because that must be the very start of that fullness of God that you are looking for. And it says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes. How do you know? Because he was walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. There are always going to be exceptions. We need to make them less and less. Amen. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was a great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? How many people want God to visit them in a dream today? Come on now. And what was the first thing that you hear here? It says that Solomon loved God. Amen? So if you want a visitation of the Most High God in a dramatic manner, you need to love God with your everything. See, the reason why I know these things can happen, I didn't say would happen, I said can happen, is because God is not a respecter of people. Not of kings, not of queens, not of anybody. We are all blessed in God's eyes. Amen? And I've heard the stories, and I've had the people talk and write books about how they visited heaven and stuff. Hey, I'm going to break it to you. I ain't been. I have not been to heaven. I have not seen Jesus. I think I might have seen him once. But he didn't say it was Jesus, and I didn't have that impression. I knew it was the Lord. It could have been an angel speaking through the Lord. But I can't tell you that I've seen Jesus, but I can't wait till I do see Jesus. You understand? And so here he is. He's having a visitation in a dream from the living God. Now you've got to know that he can't have an average love of God. You know what I mean? He can't be living a mediocre servanthood in God. There is something special that has been established by a very special love in God. You know, because you're going to know that it's not normal, because God didn't just come, but he asked this question. He says, ask, what shall I give you? Now, I would love for God to come up and ask me what I'd like. I pray all the time. I let my petitions be made known to God. I don't really ask for much for myself, but there's a lot of things that we in this ministry need, and I'm always petitioning God for those things, because God is our source. Amen? God is our source, right? So at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You hear the heart? The heart? Now, David blew it bad. Amen? David blew it bad. But his heart was right before God. The first thing you got to do is develop that love affair and get your heart right before God. Quit trying to scheme on God. Quit trying to manipulate God. And come to God with that pure heart that just says, Lord, I want to be your servant, and mean it. You see, you got to get your heart to that place. Right? I'm telling you, we got to quit trying to manipulate God. That is not a right heart. Well, God, you know, if you'll do this for me, I'll serve you. No! I'll serve you. Amen? Now watch what's going on here. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. You better be a little child in God. You better get yourself to where you ain't so smart, to where you acknowledge that you are a little child in God. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now, what do you ask God for? I want my wife back. I want my husband back. I want this back. I want that back. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want that. Do this for me. Do that for me. Are you hearing me today? You see, you got to quit asking God for what you want, and you got to start asking God for Him. Amen. See, that is the beginning of the right heart with God. Now, do I want all my kids back? Yes. But did I make that a prerequisite to follow Him in my life? No. You understand? My heart is to do the work of my Father first, because that is real love. Let's go back to verse 3. It says, and Solomon loved the Lord. So what did he do? Walked in the statutes. Are you getting this? When you really love God, you clean up your life. You start to walk uprightly before God. You get it? You quit your conniving, your stealing, your whatever, your manipulation of God, and you walk uprightly before God. Why? Not because you want something, but because you truly love Him. Are you getting this? You see, there's too many people, and you know, I don't care how you come to God. And if everybody has to get divorced in order to find Jesus, I'm okay with that. Do you get it? If you've got to have some kind of a terrible traumatic event in your life to find Jesus, I'm okay with that. Because it is best that you find Jesus. But do not take that event into your walk with God above the love of God. You get it? You see, I'm here telling you today that if you love God, if you really love God, and it says the same thing in 1 John, it says, if you love God, you keep His commandments. Period. And I didn't say you wouldn't make a mistake now and then. But I'm going to tell you that it's not a manipulation point in your life. Well, God, I'll just do everything you want me to, but you just bring me my wife back or my husband back or my whatever back. Come on, don't act like that around me. Don't think I'm that stupid. Well, I want my boyfriend back. I want this. I don't care what you want. You better love God. And that man must become your sole purpose in life if you want to be greatly blessed. If you want the fullness of God in your life, it cannot be because you want something. It must be because you love Him. Hello. Are you getting this? This is a dynamic thing that we all need to learn. You see, God sometimes allows events in our life so that we will come to Him. Hello. And if you're like me, I've been married before, but I assure you that God didn't tell me to marry that girl. Did you get that? I said, I assure you, God did not tell me to marry that girl. God did not tell me to do those dastardly deeds that ended me up locked up. God did not tell me to do all those things that caused evil and wickedness in my life. I did them on my very own. And I'm not like most people. I don't blame nobody but me. You understand? Who did it to you? We all did it to ourselves. So, check this out. That was yesterday, and this is today. Right? Quit carrying your yesterdays into your todays. Quit trying to fix your yesterdays, which are already history, and work on your todays so your future will be okay. You get it? Love God. Quit putting conditions on it. Well, I'm going to serve God because I know if I serve God, God will bring this and that back to me. God ain't got to do nothing for you. He sent His Son Jesus. He died for you. And now you better just love Him because He is worthy of your love. And if you want the fullness in your life, then you must have God in His fullness in your life. And if you want to be smart, quit trying to manipulate God and just ask God for His wisdom in your life. And as you ask God for His wisdom in your life and your heart becomes right, and you love God, then you walk uprightly and your future is going to be good because your todays are okay. You get it? You see, I'm here telling you that I read about Solomon not because I'm impressed with all the wrong things he did in his life, because I'm not, and he did many. But you know what? We all do wrong things. But I want to learn from his mistakes. You know, I am here to tell you that a smart man learns from his mistakes. So quit making the same one, silly man, woman. Right? But a smarter man learns from others' mistakes. Right? Both David and Solomon would have had much better lives, and they had great lives, but they could have had much better lives if they would have stayed walking in the statutes. If they would have stayed within the boundaries that God had set up. Right? So us that have already been out there and around and found God recently, I'm here to tell you that if you want the fullness of God in your life, love God first. First, I don't care about your past. Today, this day, and every day from now on, love God first and above all. Amen? Why? Because that is pleasing before the Father, and then the Father will come visit you and help you in other areas of your life. Amen? I love the thought of putting myself in that position where get closer to God so that I could get that extra little step in towards Him. Amen. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. You see, when you ask God to help you to draw closer to Him, to do right by Him, and to love Him and observe Him in all your ways, then He's going to do much greater things for you than that. But that is where you got to start. Now let's go to Matthew 7. 6, actually. Now 6, Matthew 6, 19 through 32 are all the things that people usually desire. Money, clothes, different things, happiness, joy, whatever. Material things. Amen? Now this is Jesus, a confirmation of what God has already said before in Samuel and in others in the Old Testament. And in 6:33 it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You see, Jesus always reaffirms what God the Father has spoken in other parts of the Bible. Amen? There is no difference in covenant to me that I see. The new covenant is a fulfillment of the promises that are in the old covenant. Right? The old covenant is a promise. The new covenant is the fulfillment of it. The Old Testament is the promise. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the promise. Now, in the Old Testament, you had to be in lineage of Abraham just about, with very few exceptions, to even get into the kingdom of God. Amen? But in the New Testament, because of Jesus, the Old Testament promises are now the promises you can have if you will put yourself in the Old Testament kind of alignment so God can bring those blessings into your life. You see, what I'm trying to tell you today is the fact is that the same things that were available just to His royal lineage of the Old Testament is now available to His new royal lineage, which is you through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. Before, it was just for kings and priests because that was the lineage that was established in the Old Testament. But today, you can have all those promises in your life because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you can have all those blessings and all those promises and all those things in your life if you will get yourself in alignment and love God and walk in His statutes and walk in that love in your life. And do what He asks you to do. And you just do what He asks you to do. And He's going to do over and above anything you can dream or imagine. You see, a lot of people don't get it. They don't want to read the Old Testament. But it says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says that these are the things that were sent as a warning and admonition to you. Right? In the Old Testament, there are many warnings and admonitions, like sexual, whatever, promiscuousness. 22,000 fell in one day. That tells you what God thinks about being promiscuous. Now, will God forgive you? Yes. But there is a cost for sin. It may be you won't inherit your future He has planned for you. Are you hearing me? You see, you got to get a hold of this. You got to get a hold of this. The promises are for you. They're available. And you know, it's like I was telling somebody the other day, from the time I met God, I decided to the best of my ability that I'm going to give God my whole life. The first fruits of whatever I had left. Amen? Well, I used to live for the devil and gave him all my fruits. Right? So when I met the Lord, I wanted to give him my best. You see, today, I don't want to just be a mediocre servant. You know, like some of you guys that lean on your brooms more than you push them. Amen? I want to be the best servant. Right? I don't want just half the blessings. I want all the blessings. I don't want to be the one that talks the most. I want to be the one that's listened to the most. They don't go together. Are you hearing me? You see, I believe I'm showing you through Scripture, and I know I am showing you through Scripture, that the same blessings that were available to the kings of the Old Testament, to the priests of the Old Testament, are available to you because the New Testament brings you into alignment with all these things so that now they're available for you. But there are terms and conditions that you must understand. Jesus did not just come to make you absolutely wonderful. He came to make you have all the promises available to you. Are you getting this? They are available to who? To you. But you aren't going to just get them, because God already gave you your salvation. But if you want all the blessings that you can get, you've got to love God with all your heart, body, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? You've got to get your life in a right relationship with Him. You've got to clean up your act. You've got to get your mind right. You've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You must love Him and serve Him with your everything. And if you'll do that with a pure heart, which means there are no motives like bring my wife back or bring my husband back or bring my this or that or whatever back. You understand? Which is manipulation, which the Old Testament says is as witchcraft. And you get your heart pure before God that you serve God because you love Him and He absolutely is worthy. Then not only will you get the things that you ask for, but God will give you everything else even that you didn't ask for because He's a good God and He loves you. Are you following me this morning? You see, I want God's fullness in my life. And I want you to know how to get God's fullness in your life. I am not here because I need men to pat me on my back. I am here because God sent me here. I did not come over here because I needed kudos in my life. Attaboys or whatever you want to say. I came here because God told me, go. I don't deal with you because I just woke up in the midst of my life and felt like being somebody. I'm over here every day doing the same thing because God sent me here to every day do the same thing. I do what I do, and it benefits others, not for me, but for Him who loves me. I don't do it so I can be rich and famous or one of the recognized ones of the world. I do it because He is worthy. He is my God, and He is the one I live my life for. And because of it, He has blessed me in every area of my life, and not all the areas yet, but I know that He will, because He is God, and He wants to do these things for you, and He wants to do those things for me. But we have got to quit trying to manipulate God. We have got to quit trying to get God into a little box somewhere so we can make Him like Plato and have Him do what we want Him to do. And we have got to get to the place that we serve God with a pure heart, with pure love, because in that place, He can bless us in every area of our life. I'm telling you today that I don't have a lot of money, but I have a lot of joy. I'm telling you today that I'm not concerned about things, I'm concerned about Him. Every action I take, I ask Him, did I do okay? And to be honest with you, there's a lot of times I don't do okay. You get it? But I ask Him not because I want a kudo, but because I want to be pleasing to Him. Do you hear the difference? You get it? See, people, I want you to understand you can have the whole enchilada. You can have the marriage supper of the Lamb. You can have the full feast. But you know what? Those things that you think you want out of God are the crumbs in your life. Amen? They're the crumbs. Whether a person comes or goes or not, that's a crumb. You get it? Compared with the full meal that God wants to give you, it is nothing. You see, we will scrap and fight for things that mean little. And the thing that means the most, we walk right by on purpose. Today, I want you to think how much God loves you. I want you to know that He is God, the creator of everything, and all things are within His grasp. And He is a good Father, and He wants to bless you. But you know what? He's also a smart dad. And you ain't manipulating Him. You get it? It's got to be a pure heart. A pure heart. And when you get that pure heart between you and God, all things not only become possible, but happen in your life above and beyond anything you can dream or imagine. I'm going to close. You know, God, I love you, Jesus. I love you so much, and you know it's true. God is going to restore all my children to me. But He's not going to do it because I told Him that I would do this if He'd restore them to me. He's going to do it because He wants me to be happy. Amen? And because it's the right thing. And in His time and in His way, He's going to do that. God is going to give us a ranch that'll hold 500 people. God's going to do that. Amen? God is going to take and bring multiple sound equipment, Peterbilts, big old tractor trailer rigs, all those things. Why? Because it's God's will for the ministry, not mine. You understand? What the hey would I want with that stuff if I wasn't in ministry? You see, and I just pray that God keep a hedge of protection around my family and those that I love, because I know that they will be attacked because of what I do. And God is faithful above all things. But one thing I'm not going to do in my life is no matter what happens in my life, I'm not going to sit there and tell God, well, what did you do that for? Because I told you, God is smarter than us. God has a plan. And this is, if I could give you this last concept, I'm going to close one more time. Imagine God building a tapestry. How many people know what a tapestry is? It's like a big carpet with a picture scene in it, right? Now, I am one thread in that tapestry. You are one thread in that tapestry. Now, after a while, you'll kind of see where you were and maybe even get kind of a direction about where you're going. But you are never going to have the whole vision of that tapestry until it is done. Quit trying to figure out God and just love Him with your everything. do the things that He asked. Live uprightly before Him. Amen? And of all the things that are, ask Him to lead you in your life. And then when He shows you, follow Him. And He will give you much, much more than you ever had in your life. With a much more fullness that should be in your life. Not because of manipulation, but because He is God and He can do all things for you in your life. You know, today I want you to just think. Are you trying to manipulate God or do you love God with a pure heart? You know, God would have you to be somewhat uncomfortable sometimes. Anybody notice that yet?
Yeah.
If you get comfortable, God will help you to be uncomfortable. Because God did not make you to sit in your pew or to stand still. God would have you to be about His business. Amen? And He will provoke you unto good works. Not because He doesn't like you, but just because He knows what you really need. Whatever you go through in God is for a purpose. Whether you understand it or not is irrelevant. Let God be God in your life. Your Lord, not just your Savior. And learn to love Him no matter what. And when you do, and your desire is to seek Him with your everything, people, the blessings will abound above and beyond anything you can dream or imagine in your life. And that is the truth of the Bible that I read every day. And that is the truth. You need to get into your heart and in your soul. Serve Him willingly with your everything because He is worthy. And that's enough reason if there wasn't any other in the world today. Love Him for Him. Amen. Father, I love You, God. And let it be today that each person here just accept the fact that the Old and the New Testament are compatible. They are. The New Testament is a fulfillment of the promise and the availability of the Old. Lord, I just love You today. And God, I just ask that You help me to continue to do Your will. And I ask that You help everybody here to continue to do Your will. And get the desire to do those things that they need to do. Because Lord, we cherish You, Lord. We thank You, God, for touching us. We want to be used by You, Lord. And God, help our wannas to change to where we really wanna. Just because You are who You are, God. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.